Well, good morning, ladies. Who liked not making their breakfast today? Yeah, we're going to get some rowdy moms in here now. It's like, yeah, my kid ate the crumbs on the floor, but we got here. I just wanted to say I'm so honored to be here. I am a middle-aged woman now, and I remember sitting in my mom's group, not showered. I'm a little angry at y'all because y'all look real fresh, real fresh. I see some curls. It's really upsetting to me. I used to wear a diva suit, like a velour diva suit, because I'm from Jersey and we know how to roll, slap some hoops in, and I'm coming to mom's group. But I just so believe in the gift of motherhood. Ladies, this is not a small gift. And as someone who is just about, I'm buying house plants. My house almost looks like the Amazon because I'm releasing these young men and I need to smother something. So it's these plants. But I just really want to encourage you, keep showing up to this group. Keep showing up for each other. I'm telling you, I still have friends from my mom's group. And some of us have dispersed because we live in a very transient area as well. But what a gift. I still think about when we figured out how to get my kid to poop in the toilet at the table. We figured it out. And he is at college now, and he can do that. So that's not a small thing, okay? Sky's the limit for y'all. But before we get started, I wanted to give away a freebie of my DVD, I'm a Confident Parent, right? That's a question mark, but at the end you'll have an exclamation point, I'm sure of it. So the woman that just moved to the area most recently to today, who's been here just like 3 months? Just raise your hand quick.
Danielle's been here 1 month.
All right, Danielle, you're a winner, real winner. You have a newborn, too. Well, today I'm here to talk to you about the colorful art of friendship, and I just really want to tell you, my undergraduate degree is in criminal justice, so I have no business talking about art, none. But I use very bare-bone terminology, so if there's any art history majors, come see me in the back after and correct me, okay? So I want to ask, ladies, if you would raise your hand if you can relate. Do you have a friend that you just plain old adore? I mean, when we talked at our table here, we had tears just thinking about the love that was flowing out of these friendships. What about a friendship that's changed because of COVID? How about a friend that moved away so much that it still hurts? What about a friend that makes you laugh so hard that sometimes you snort? Maybe you're that friend. What about a friend that drives you so nuts that she makes you want to run, Forrest, run? You're like, lady, simmer it down. Well, today I've come to talk to you about the colorful art of friendship, and I have to say, if it wasn't for the power of sisterhood and friendships, I don't believe my marriage would still be vibrant because my friends have stood in the gap. I don't think my kids would be vibrantly and very imperfectly pursuing God's call on their life if it wasn't for the coverage of their prayers. And today, instead of sharing big accolades, I first want to show you my family. That's my husband. You know God has a sense of humor if he's letting a New Jersey girl marry a West Virginia guy. So pray for my kids, because they're like, what are you looking at? And also, let's get it done. You know, it's very hard, these genetics. So we just celebrated our 26th anniversary, and we did a quick vow renewal. And I will definitely celebrate that 26, I'll tell you that, because we have had a road. We have had a road. And if you've been married for one day, you've probably had a road too. And then I want to show you my babies. This is, Caleb is on the left. He's a senior in high school, and he has just moved out of the Axe body product phase. Thank you, Jesus, because it's hard on the respiratory tract. And he is applying to colleges and doing great things. He has a huge heart for serving the children at our church. The day after he graduated from elementary, he started serving as a youth leader. And he is just so yummy with these kids. I can't cope. And then on my right is my Jake. He is a sophomore in college. He's sick right now. Give me a break. He's sick. He's 5.5 hours away from smother. I'm like, you want me to come down? He's like, Ma, I got this. I got this. I was like, remember that little care package with the flu medicine? He's like, Mom, I'm good. I'm good. He is studying political science and in Air Force ROTC and really starting to take flight. and it is not easy. Mommy, it's not hard to get them to pee in the potty. It's not hard letting them go on the kindergarten bus. It's not easy letting them go off to the next thing, but we must. We must. We can't lay over the nest and have them peck our bellies saying, let me out, lady. We have to teach them to soar. So I wanted to show you a little proof of my knowledge of art. So, you know, ladies, your kids come out of school and were in the children's ministry. This was out of the children's ministry. And my son, that 20-year-old that is going to lead our nation someday, this was one of the first drawings he made of mommy. And you see, I don't know if you noticed, but green is my favorite color. And not true to the photograph, I cannot do a split, only because I have the flexibility of a cement block, but I'm very flattered. And also true, those two circles, yeah, he was nursed. And really true to form, the two circles aren't even. I'm grateful. He notices these things. It's precious. So my friend who's an early childhood interventionist, she said, yeah, children draw what they see. I was like, get behind me, Zane. Get behind me. Okay. So I labeled this beautiful artwork My Circles. Yes. And then this artist inspired the next artist, and I titled this piece of art Woman That Grows a Head, because Caleb saw that I actually had a head that contained my eyes, so that was precious. Well, today, ladies, I want to ask you some serious questions. I want to ask you these questions because it's so important when we build out on this talk that we get to the foundation and then we keep building up. So I want to ask you these three questions. Is God your friend? Are you a friend to God? And really, we can answer both those questions with this third. Do you spend time together? I ask these questions because when I first became a Christian, I knew of an entity of God that was far away, powerful, mighty, and you cower. But then as I started to mature and know this Jesus, I realized that Jesus is actually as close as a friend. And it confused me because I was betraying what my upbringing was telling me. He's so much more than just Savior. He's so much more than friend. He's so much more than provider. He's all of it. So I want to encourage you as we talk about friendship, the first friend we really need is a relationship with the Lord. And I know the leaders at your table and the mentors at your table could talk to you more about that, but it's just been critical. And as we talk more about some art history of friendship, I would not be able to navigate some of the highs and lows of my marriage, of parenting, of friendships, without being leaning on the strong arms of the Lord, truly. So I think math is really horrible, so I'd like to give you a little math problem. God plus me equals we, and we is greater than me. And I want to encourage you, starting with that foundation, you'll never go wrong. Never. This Bible verse in Exodus 33:11, so the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. I mean, not everyone gets that kind of encounter, but we can draw close. And I know God has wired us. Think about your own family of origin. No one has the same relationship, but it's still just as precious a parent-child relationship. So when I had read that, I thought, wow, God is a personal God. And sometimes we hear some people sharing their stories about their journey in friendship. God is like, wow, they're really BFFs. Why do I feel so far away? Just sit quietly with the Lord. Just sit quietly. Read some scriptures. Saturate yourself. You'll get to know the character of God, and when you leave, you won't feel sadder. I promise you that. The next friendship I want to talk to you about is being a friend to yourself. Now, I'm speaking to a room of moms that I already know. I've been speaking to moms groups for years. You're not like JV moms. You're not here to rally because you're a chump. You're here because you're serious about this gig of motherhood. And sometimes we can pour out so much onto our kids, and we think, when was the last time I shaved my legs? When was the last time? I remember when I was really, like, I was in it. I thought I was brilliant, and this is where you know you need some friends to help you. I had an alternate leg shaving schedule because I thought that was time management. So you are doing better than me. And I'm proud of you. So listen, I want you to be a friend to yourself, so this is what I mean by that. I do a self-care workshop because I so firmly believe in self-care. It is not deglorifying to God. In fact, the Word of God says, love your neighbor as yourself, but you neglect yourself, what do you offer that neighbor? Drips. Whereas if you do a good job taking care of yourself, not like you're putting yourself on an idol saying, precious, stay in a little glass cage and not be polluted by the world, you could have a bucket to pour out to people of empathy and listening and kindness and a chicken casserole. Everyone wants a chicken casserole. Go bring it to somebody. You'll have the energy to do it. So I want you to listen to yourself. I want you to listen to the things that you say. I know it's hard when little people that are nibbling on your ankles and knees, and you're like, oh, I can't even hear myself think. I want you to focus. Maybe when you're in the bathroom for your 3 seconds, because they'll find you. I want you to think, what, have I been talking kind to myself? Would you ever tell your friend you'll never make it to your goal weight, or your rear looks huge in those jeans, or let's be honest, your leggings, because who has time for jeans? I feel like my hiney's in prison right now. Or that you're telling your friend you're ruining your kids. But we tell ourselves these messages all throughout the day, and we just litter our brain with, if you had a mommy meltdown, you're like, I'm ruining my kids. No, you're not. You're showing your kids that you're human. Just go apologize and carry on. Speak kindly to yourself. Grant grace. And because I love you, get away from those kids periodically. Get away from them. I'll tell you, when I was young and I was so scared to move away from my children, I had had 3 miscarriages before Jake was born. And by the time I live far from family, so by the time my husband was like, it's time, we need to go on a date. He's a volunteer firefighter and had their fire banquet. I was like, oh, we can't date. We have a child now. And he's like, you're going to get away from that kid. And I was like, try me. Like, well, it was hilarious because I had typed, precious me, typed instructions for the EMT woman that came from England to be a nanny, who's also an EMT. I typed instructions for her because she would have no idea how to take care of my kid. That's extra, guys, okay? That's extra. Well, now she's a mom. I'm like, how is your file folder? She's like, I get it now, Steph. I get it. I was like, I know, we've become kind of crazy, right? So I really want to encourage you to get away. I remember a time I had gone out. My girlfriend and I, we shut down Panera. We just shut it down because we're crazy. And we stayed in the outdoor seating area, and it was like 11 o'clock, and I came home, and I was like, wow, I'm so tired. It was almost midnight. And then I was like, I'm not going to be able to. I woke up the next morning, and I remember this so clearly. I had an extra outpouring because the sippy cup's going to spill. It doesn't matter if you screwed it on tight. It doesn't matter. It's going to spill. I was like, oh, that's no worry. And I was like, who is this woman? Where's Steph? And so I want to tell you, go away and you outpour. But the reason you need to go away is, I don't know if you've heard, it's not what's taught, it's what's caught. Let me tell you something clear. Your kids aren't listening to you. They're listening this much. They're enduring us. Like, if you start talking and you have a 15-minute sermon for them, they're enduring you, mommy. They're enduring you. They're just, I'm going to endure them. And you get sometimes a nod, they're not listening. But they're watching you. And if they watch mom have a vibrant life with a couple good friends, it will inspire them. It will inspire. In fact, my best friend, they're very good friends with her sons. And I feel as though sometimes when I was feeling that mom guilt of, oh, I have this to do, that to do, I was like, I am going to go away because I'm going to model healthy relationships to my kids. And I really want to encourage you, model it. And then have words to follow up. In fact, that's pretty biblical. If you live a life that's honoring to God, have some words to follow up for the reason of the hope that you have. So, okay, and then the next relationship I want to talk to you about is God, then self, and then anyone who is married. Listen, I have been married for 26 years, and I want to tell you something. I love my husband, but my husband and I both agree. Being joyfully married is much harder for us than parenting, and we don't take this parenting gig lightly. So I want to encourage you to be a friend to your spouse, and I want to offer these 3 points of encouragement. I want you to be a strong vice president. Now listen, if the president is out of loop, the president can't do this job, the vice president will just step in and get it done. I know a lot of women in moms groups that I've heard, my husband doesn't read the Bible, my husband's not leading our kids in faith. Vice president, rise. And cover your president for your legacy's sake, because it honors God, because you won't regret it. I want to encourage you to praise your spouse in public. I have heard a lot of people say, what a butthead their husband is. And you're talking to like 40 people. Would you want your husband to tell everyone what a butthead you are? No, I don't think you would, lovely. So I want to encourage you to praise in public. And yes, of course, have those few close friends, which we're going to talk about, that you can navigate and sift through some of those less charming parts of your spouse. And prayerfully, your husband will be navigating some of your less charming parts with some of his friends so that we can do this marriage thing more solidly. And then lastly, we all have a dishwasher. That's just air quotes. We all have something that really irritates us about our spouse. Mine's my dishwasher. I used to take personal offense when I'd go past the dishwasher after the meal I cooked, after the dishes I wiped off, after the dishes that, you know, you've gone into the, I'm sure your kitchen sounds a little bit like mine, and that I would feel like, oh, if my husband loved me, he'd unload the dishwasher. Whoa, Bo is me. And I want to encourage you, know yourself. Know yourself. And know where your points of contention are. Maybe it's laundry. Maybe it's parenting the kids. Maybe it's, I don't know. But I want to encourage you, know your weaknesses, and then lean into it. Stop running away from your weaknesses. And just say, and I said to my husband one day, you know, it really would mean a lot to me if you unloaded the dishwasher regularly. And he said, oh, okay, babe, I didn't realize that bothered you. And I was like, okay, one, he can't read my mind. Two, I can be passive aggressive. Sometimes I'm like this, like, oh, he knows that means unload the dishwasher. No, they don't know that. They don't know that, ladies. So we're going to have to be honest and direct communicators. So, okay, now I want to move on to friendships. So we talked about God, we talked about self, we talked about spouse, and now I want to talk about girlfriends, which is really the true meat of this talk. You know, when I studied Jesus' lifestyle, I saw structure. I saw comfort. I didn't find a formula. Let's not get into a formula. And when I looked at Jesus' life, I saw that he had three inner circle friends, which I call innies, and nine outer circle friends. So his inner circle friends, Peter, James, and John, he did a lot of his life with. So I said, you know what, maybe who are my three innies? Who are they? And I'm going to give you a couple of, there's some points that I want to help you sift through of like, who is my innies? I don't know. I'm in a new season of life. I'm a mom now. You can still be friends with your friends that aren't parents, that have kids that are older. You can still do it. Don't stay in the box of I only can be friends with people that are in my stage. It's too boring that way. And I want to encourage you, in Jesus' inner and outer circles, he had betrayal in both. In Jesus' inner circle, he had Peter. Remember Peter who betrayed him? Listen, ladies, we've had friends that we know have shared the secret. We've had friends that have hurt our hearts. And if we're truly honest, we've been that friend. And I just want you to know, in those spaces of hurt or pain, you can turn to God. God knows. I love and I hate that even in Jesus in the garden, when he was crying before his death, he asked his friends to stay with him. And I don't know if you know how the story goes, but they fell asleep on him. And my friends, that's betrayal. I don't know if you've been in a tough season and you've thought, I sent my friend an SOS text and she hasn't replied back. Where are you? Stop sleeping on me. Wake up. Show up for me. So I just want you to know, Jesus knows what that is. He knows what betrayal is. And, you know, sometimes I think it's easy for people that see extroverts, like, oh, extroverts, you can hide behind I'm an extrovert or hide behind I'm an introvert. Listen, it's not easier for extroverts. It's not. Sometimes they go wide, but they hide and don't go deep. And then introverts, sometimes all they can handle is deep, so they don't have time for the wide kind of conversation. Like, hi, bye. No, I need someone that's going to sit down and talk about my plants with me. So I want to encourage you, from time to time in this age of technology, give a face look instead of a Facebook. Don't be contented just with the screen to screen. Let that be supplemental. Have regular rhythms that you actually look someone in the face and you actually can read their body language. You'd be like, wow, she's hurting. Her words are saying hurt, but her whole expression is saying ouch. You know, I feel as though as we continue looking for friends, there's different styles of painting. And this is where my inaptitude is going to really come in. So I remember when my kids were in preschool and they bring home pictures, you got to see one of the most beautiful self-portraits I've ever had of my green self. When the kids are beginning to learn how to paint, they're going into finger painting. It's very sloppy, and you really can't make a lot of sense of it, right? Well, I want to encourage you, as you begin to start painting these friendships, it's okay to be a little messy because we're trying to figure things out, right? You may sit at your mom's table and just give one little share of like, well, I feel distant from my husband right now, and you're just putting that out as a feeler to see if anyone heard that. And for you, that's a big reveal, but no one knows that because they don't know you yet. So you're just messy painting outside. You're trying to risk. And then you have these big bristle brushes where you're painting, but you're not really giving too many inner details about you. Like, I have a root of abandonment. That would not be at this paint stroke. And then as you get to know, and maybe you had a coffee date, you start deciding like, yeah, my marriage is okay. But you're in marriage crisis. But you're like, yeah, it's okay. And then there comes a point where you're really going to take the big risk and you're going to use the little detail paintbrush. And you're like, my marriage is in crisis and we're separated. Now, I know everyone's called to paint in different ways. Okay? There's no order, exact, precise order. Don't put a formula on this, okay? That's not what Jesus died on a cross for us, to live in some formula. But I do want to encourage you, finger painting seasons, give yourself a break. If you just had a new baby, where is she? If you just had a new baby, I don't know where she went. Oh, there she is. Give yourself a break. Do some messy finger painting and put up with it, ladies, and go bring her a hot meal and tell her she's a great mom. In new jobs, in new school years, I didn't even realize how traumatizing it would be to let go of my kid his freshman year. It was a hard year for me personally. And I told him, I was like, I could tell he was uncertain. And I said to him, babe, you're ready for this. You're ready for this. And I did the same thing as preschool, and I turned away and I hid in the pine tree so I could keep observing him until he went into the preschool, and I have pictures like the stalker that I am. And in college, I said the same thing. I said, babe, you're ready for this. And I'm crushed on the inside, but I'm so excited. This is the gift and wild ride of motherhood. As soon as I walked out of his dorm, there's this big dad walking in with this stuff, and I am just now. And he goes, that's exactly how I feel. But I knew in that moment I needed to show bravery. And before I got to the car, I just sat in the car and my son called. And he's not that kind of guy. He's very, very proud, preciously proud. And he goes, Mom, this is really different. And I was like, keep it together. He needs encouragement right now. And I said, you're right. This is going to be really different. And God has prepared you. You're ready, babe. Time to soar. I'm still here. Hung up the phone. Guess what I did? Just take one guess. Bawled my eyes out. Don't know why I put mascara on. I know better. The big bristle brushes. Facebook, you put out a little, I like plants. Big brush, right? Coffee is good. I'm walking on my favorite trail. Little paint. When that's like, I remember my running partner and I, when we first started running, it was like broad things. Oh, I like these sneakers. Then it was like, my husband, We started really getting into the fine details. So I want to encourage you. I have a two-page handout, which the leaders can go ahead and email maybe later, but I'm just going to highlight quickly. These are some questions to determine your inner and outer circle. Is she a good listener? Listen, if you're the only listener, you have a problem. You have a ministry opportunity. You don't have a friend. You have a ministry opportunity. Is she a good listener? Does she let me listen to her? Does she offer for me sound biblical-based advice? For example, do they challenge you to speak truth in love? Do they tell you to exercise grace here? Like, that's not what I want to hear. I want to hear how I'm right. That's what I want to hear. I don't want to hear about I have to give grace to this person. Does she know my birthday? Do I know her birthday? Does she keep a record of my past mistakes? Is she only around on the good days? Or is she only around on the bad days? Because that's quite telling. Sometimes friends just want to come in and rescue and then peace out. And then other times they just want to be there like, look, she's having a good day. I was her friend and I was part of it. Like, I want both. And then I also want to just sit in the in-between. Like in leggings, a hoodie, no makeup, and we're talking. Can I give and also receive honest input? Can we disagree and still be friends with no microphone needing to be dropped, no dramatic exit? And you're like, no, I don't think that's true. Can we comfortably discuss our faith? safely. So where to look? Think about your incoming, outgoing phone calls, emails, text messages. Go through your Christmas card list. On your next birthday, make a mental note of who notices. Not just like the Facebook. I don't even do that anymore. So it's like, I don't even know how we know each other. I'm not going to wish you happy birthday. It's not because I don't care about you. It's like, it seems not honest, not fully honest. Like, of course I want you to have a happy birthday. Who cares about my birthday behind the scenes? If you're a journaler, who keeps appearing in your journal for good or for bad? I remember one time I was journaling. I kept saying, Nancy just keeps blessing me. She keeps showing up. It's so unique. It's almost like you designed her and prompt her, Lord. And, you know, I was like, and that's my accountability partner of 20 years now. And it's so special. So I want you to pray. I want you to ask God, who should I paint with? Who should I paint with? And maybe it's just going to be for a quick season and we're going to be messy finger painting. Or maybe we're starting to go deep. I know at our table, there was like since middle school friendships. I mean, and then sometimes we're thinking, well, I wish I had a friend since middle school. Well, you're pretty young still. You got a lot of years left. Start investing now and start painting this masterpiece. So I want to be honest and I want to tell you three things because I love you. What? Pauses, painting, pride. Now listen, ladies, I know so many of us. I remember I was like, get in the sexy minivan. We got a casserole to deliver. We got a small group to lead. I mean, we got things to do, right? So many of us can do so much and we can probably handle a lot, especially in Northern Virginia. It seems like there's like a lot of alpha, like a lot of type A people here in a very high capacity that are high functioning and get a lot done. But here's the thing, you can probably do a lot, but God didn't wire us this way. He didn't intend us to be in an island. He intended us to live in community. So pride, I can do it myself. A lot, you could probably do a lot, but should you do it all by yourself? Fear. Now, I know I've done this talk quite a few times, and some of the precious ladies have said, I've been wanting to ask this woman just to kind of like go on a coffee date or something, but what if she says no? And this is a woman that has lived through at least one child. She had one child on her lap. You can live through it. You can live through it. And then excuses, I'm so busy. Ladies, we're all blessed to have a full life. I don't like the word really busy anyway. I like full. I think it's more positive oriented. I'm blessed with a full life. And I want to encourage you can make an excuse for anything. I even think of a small group I'm leading right now. This one woman, she says, oh, I want to show up. Hasn't shown up once. I know, and I'm going to tell you, because I'm 48, I'm knocking on 50's door. I now know it's not only about me. I know she's scared of community, okay? And I'm not so precious to take it personally. I see her, I hug her. She likes the Cowboys. I don't know why. We'll talk about that. But, like, just hang in there. So, all right, now, ladies, the quiche has worn off. I don't want you to fall asleep on me. So here is the audience participation part, okay? So get your arm ready. I want you to raise your hand if you think if these pictures I'm going to show you are masterpieces. No right, no wrong answer, okay? Okay, here we go. Starry Night by Van Gogh. Who thinks it's a masterpiece? Raise your hand. Okay. Mona Lisa. Okay, do you think Mona Lisa is judging me right now wearing jeans in a church? Are her eyes a little shifty? I think Mona's creepy. I don't think she's a masterpiece. I think she's judging me right now with her side eye. Okay, what about the art everyone's heard of, Soft Watch at the Moment of First Explosion by Dali? Okay. Everyone's heard of Monkey Thinker? Anyone? Anyone? Bueller? Okay, we have one. Okay. I think Monkey Thinker's cooler than Mona. Okay. How about Water Lilies by Monet? Okay, did anyone have Monet in their college dorm room and think they were classy? Okay, we're like in a prison cell, but we got some fine replicated art up on the wall. Okay, so you see that we all have different values of what we perceive as a masterpiece, what we don't perceive as a masterpiece. Ladies, I really want to encourage you, don't listen to public opinion when you're choosing your friends. You let the Holy Spirit help you. The Holy Spirit's a helper, a guide. You'll start feeling more drawn to someone, or maybe I should keep a distance. Listen, if some people would say, Steph, she's not a masterpiece, well, then I'd have no friends. I don't want people to listen to public opinion. So I want to encourage you, as you're painting, you get to determine who's your masterpiece. And let me encourage you, not every friendship needs to be, nor should be, a masterpiece. It would devalue all the other beautiful pieces of art that God's gifted you. So you plus me is we, and we are greater than me. And I want to encourage you now with some art history. I want to go very quickly into some Bible stories where the power of friendship and support, sticky situations, sharing dreams, survival, restoration. These are just some of God's intention for why we have relationships. For support, in Exodus 17, you see Moses was totally weary on his battlefield. And ladies, I don't know about you, but some days parenting, I was wore out. I felt, and I said this to myself, I feel like all I do is snack them up, dust bust the crumbs, that's deep cleaning, get the next meal ready, unload the dishwasher, turn over the laundry. Oh, I forgot to start the laundry. Oh, the chicken's not thawed. I thought I put it out on the counter, right? Like this. And you have sometimes these people that are advancing. I remember my husband was overseas for a couple of months, and I thought, I am drowning right now. I'm drowning. And my friends rallied around me. And I'll tell you, ladies, in this story, Moses was facing opposition, facing enemies. And God, out of his great love, sent Aaron and Hur. And what happened was they came up and bookended Moses, and they helped him keep his hands raised. As long as Moses kept his hands raised, they were advancing against their enemy, but Moses was tired and couldn't do it. He needed Moses. Moses needed Aaron and Hur. And ladies, that is a beautiful representation visual of what we need to advance on our mission field. We have things coming in for our kids. You all are raising the next generation on these screens. There's so much not trying to captivate your kids on these screens. The schools, the neighborhoods, there's so many different faiths which we're blessed to live around, to minister to, but we have to be cautious of letting our kids be adapted by different faith sets. So I want to encourage you, maybe you're Moses right now and you need an Aaron and Hur, or maybe you see a Moses and you need to come alongside a sister. Bring that chicken casserole, hold her hand up, and let her advance over the enemies. Sticky situations. Rahab was known as the harlot. I'd like to call her a hero. She tucked away leaders, and for just a minute, which was very sketchy because Joshua and Caleb needed a safe space to hide. Her bravery meant they lived. And my friends, I don't know about you, but there could be a chance encounter, and I'd like to think that some places where we go, it could be just a meeting. I'm going to be very candid with you. Sometimes I shower and curl my hair and come out to speak to groups. But some of my most powerful ministry, my husband and I knew we were called to put our kids in public school, has been at the bus stop in an oversized hoodie with no bra and leggings. And some of the women I've talked to at the bus stop were some of the most powerful ministry moments of my life. Why? Because I'm nobody special. I don't need a microphone to try to share the hope of Christ. I love the story of Mary and Elizabeth. That's a moment where they share dreams. So Mary was pregnant with Jesus, and she traveled quite a distance. She's tough. Quite a distance to Elizabeth, who is her mentor and cousin. And she said this crazy thing. She said, Elizabeth, I'm kind of like the hosting the Savior of the world. That would be crazy, right? Like if your girlfriend came up, be like, simmer down, honey. Go have another cup of coffee. You're not squared away right now. But in fact, what Elizabeth did was she validated the dream. She's like, girl, I know my baby, she was pregnant too, did the Macarena in here. She like there was a, I know something good's going on here. And she validated. You know, I remember when I told my friend Nancy, my background is in law enforcement and criminal justice. I said, I think the Lord's pivoting me to do speaking and writing. Like, and Nancy in that moment could have said, what are you talking about? You're a criminal justice major. That makes no sense. And she said, I believe in you, Steph. And she gave me my first resource, which led to my first publication. I feel like those are the moments that we could stand witness to dreams. Like maybe I'm supposed to start a nonprofit. And you come alongside and say, go do it for the glory of God. Maybe I need to stay in this marriage. You do it and stand your post for the glory of God. I love the story of Ruth and Naomi. Their friendship meant survival. There was no Costco and BJ's, y'all. There was no bulk toilet paper anywhere. And because it was a different time and women were quite vulnerable, Ruth's decision to stay with Naomi, and they bonded together, they actually didn't just live and survive, they began thriving because these two women linked arms. It was actually a mother and daughter-in-law relationship, which is pretty remarkable. And then probably my most favorite story of what Jesus showed in friendship is restoration. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, it says that God sent Nathan to David. David is a man after God's own heart. That's when people just say this big statement, and that's true, but David is a big, big sinner, like murder, adultery, okay? But because God is so faithful and good, he sent Nathan to David, and Nathan was clever, not manipulative, but clever. He told the story, and then David got enraged and was like, who is this person? He's like, this person's you. The power of their friendship was able to him purge his sin. And you know, in those raw moments when you know you're totally exposed and vulnerable, and you could say, like, that's right, you're a sinner, and walk away? That's not what Nathan did. He reminded him that he's forgiven. And I feel like, ladies, that's what we need. We're all sinners. We all need help. We all need encouragement to keep refining. And oh, I didn't realize my pride was a sin. I remember one day when I said that to the Lord, like, oh, I didn't realize pride was a sin. I thought it meant I was confident. Yeah, when I try to take the power and not let God be the leader, that's a problem. That's pride. So I want to encourage you, ladies, as you look through the Word, you'll see these beautiful friendship examples all throughout, and I hope they permeate your life story. In fact, I hope you see your own life story in them. Because I've learned that if I talk to a person and I can't find something that I have in common with them, I'm not listening. I'm not listening well enough. Okay, so I'm going to talk very quickly about three types of friendships. So we have artwork, we have pieces of work, and I mean that in the Jersey vernacular, the pieces of work, and then we have the masterpieces. My friend, I don't know if you were single, I remember when I was single, I was like, after I became a Christian at 20, I was like, I'm not going to date someone that's not a Christian. I didn't know, I wasn't like guided on how to date, it was just like, have fun. And I remember every man I met, I was like, I wonder if he's my husband. I wonder, has anyone ever had like that? In, you know, like, you never tell them, but you're thinking like, he reads the Bible, all right. And then you realize he doesn't read the Bible, he just has a Bible. I want to encourage you that as you're starting to paint with different friends, don't look at everyone as the hubby, that intensity. Like, is this my new best friend? Could we be best friends now? It's too much. It's too extra. It's too threatening. So I want to encourage you that if you notice, as you look back in the journey of your life, like, oh, this friend, we've knit throughout. Masterpieces stand the test of time. Don't ask me why. Mona Lisa has stood the test of time. I don't know. So I want to ask you, who are the few masterpieces that maybe you have in your life that you really didn't cherish as a masterpiece? Who are the people in your life that really are a piece of work? They just want something from you. They don't want reciprocity, and you just have to shift your mindset and say, well, I want to help them, but I got to help myself too right now because I'm kind of actively engaged in this thing called life. And then other friends that you just love being around. They're just beautiful pieces of artwork. There's nothing devaluing to them. It's just not the one that you know stood the test of time. I want to encourage you, ladies, that in Ephesians 2:10, it says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. It's so humbling, and I intentionally chose the translation in the New Living Translation because the thought of thinking that God thought we're masterpieces seems, well, at least for me, a little humbling. But we are unique. We are specifically wired and painted by God, crafted all the way from the time we were in our mother's wombs. And I want to encourage you, ladies, no matter what you're going through, don't do life alone because we is greater than me. And I want to encourage you to step out of your comfort zone, step out of your familiarity. And maybe today as you're driving your sexy minivan away from mom's group, you call a friend and be like, I heard this really weird speaker today and we were talking about friendships. And I just wanted to let you know I value your friendship. And I just want to just say I thought about you. I value your friendship. We've been disconnected. I'm wondering if we can get into a rhythm of getting back connected again and see what she says. So, ladies, as I close today, I want to encourage you to get back to the easel and keep painting. And remember that as art sits on an easel, sometimes it just needs some time to breathe, and then you can get back to painting. We can't be working on ourselves, our relationships, all day long. But get back up and hold that paintbrush and be brave and courageous and watch the beautiful art that you and God create together. Thank you.
So